Because I can wing it. I can come up here and wing it. God will give me what needs to be said. But we're going to go off of what I an old favorite of mine. But first, can I have that one graphic from the bottom there?
This is for the dudes. Check that out. Ha! More Than Conquerors Men's Ministry is launching in 2024. Our scriptures for the...
Dude, who? Just one dude just said woo? Thanks, JJ. Hey, no wonder the seniors and the ladies have more. Come on, let's go.
Guys, we're doing a men's thing. And I put up a cool dude. We're going to do LARPing. Who doesn't like LARPing? Live action role play. We're not actually doing that, but sometime in January, we'll listen for God to give us an actual date. But guys, if you're here right now, I need you to read that. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Okay? Write it down. Because the whole ministry going to be based off of that. I've been praying about it. That's what it is. Because it was either this or the forge. And I was, God, I don't have anything for a forge except for, one man sharpens another, right? That's pretty good. But we're more than conquerors. And we need to be so for our families. All righty. We'll pray. We're getting the word. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to come before your people, Lord God, and to just teach a word from my heart, and that I know you're going to give it to me as I go. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. We're going to go back to it. There's not a lot of people probably. Who's done OSL?
Hallelujah.
Who's done the love of God? Good. Who's got to hear me teach the love of God?
Yeah.
You get to hear it again.
Yeah.
And we're going to start in the beginning. Who knows? If I'm going to preach a couple times in the next month or so. I might go ahead and preach this whole thing. But first things first, we're going to just talk really quick about Genesis. We're going to talk about how God made you. And I think, you know what, we're going to start in Proverbs, verse 30. That's where I like to start. What was it? Verse 8, 30, verse 8. Oh, that's in the message. Let's get some King James here. Hold on. I have them backwards. Silly. It's Proverbs 8, verse 22. Proverbs 8, verse 22. And it says this. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Hallelujah. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Hallelujah. So, now we know this is Jesus talking. Okay? Jesus is talking about being brought forth before the world is brought forth, right? So this is, we're talking about before. Before. Before there were people, before there were plants, before there was water, before there was a firmament between them. This is Jesus talking about you. Wait. He's talking about you before the before. Jesus, when God was sitting about, when the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, right? We know Genesis, right? Okay. Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, right? And Jesus is there, the Word of God. And he, bacon. Yes, we love the bacon. I will stand here, turn the bacon on.
Wait for the camera to respond. Hello, camera. There we go. It should follow me now, unless it turned off. Okay, so before the foundation of the earth, God had God and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they're all there, and Jesus, God is like, Son, I love you. And Jesus is like, mankind, I love, but mankind's not there. But he's still thinking about mankind. Because before anything, Jesus loved you. Before creation, and we know that everything is made by Christ, right? And through Christ, and for Christ, everything was made because he delights in you. It's like he was sitting up there going, I wish I had somebody to hang out with. I wish I had somebody to love. Sounds like a song. And so Jesus makes the world for you. He took all this time. We read the Genesis account, because we only got 20 minutes left. He took all this time and he made the earth. And when he was putting whatever your favorite thing is, I always talk about an orange, because there's so much in an orange, right? There's the peel, there's the flavor, there's the sting in your eye. Whatever it is, whatever you like about the orange, whatever that is, Jesus sat there and he was like, I can't wait for Clinton to try this orange. Little girls, they grow up, right? And they when they're young, they have this idea of what the perfect husband is going to be. And they start making the perfect husband in their mind, and they have all these ideas about what he should look like, and hopefully the job he has, and you know, the way he'll treat them. Right? Jesus, and before he started building the earth, he was building you. That image, God had that for you. He put that all into every ounce of creation. So what, you don't like oranges, strawberries, whatever, just fill it in. Maybe you don't like fruit at all. Maybe it's bacon. Maybe it's steak. Only God would know that a rib tastes that way with barbecue sauce. He did that because he loves you. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, do you know about God's love for you? I won't get into the what it cost him. But what I will tell you is that everything it cost him, he believes it was worth it because of you. If you were the only person, you could just say, I'm Clinton. I'm the only person that believed God for his promise. Right? And you can enter your name in there. And God would say it was worth it. Because that's his love for you. Hallelujah. That's so good. No wonder when you know, we get up here and we're excited and we're pumped up and we're just overjoyed. God built that into you. You can search the whole world over and still have an emptiness inside your heart. I think I talked about it just recently. There's that hole inside your heart where if you've not experienced the love of God, you try to find it in other things. You try to find it in fooling around. You try to find it in a bar. You try to find it at the bottom of a bag. You try to find it wherever. You try to find it in potato chips. Whatever. It doesn't have to be something, oh gosh, that guy's a drunk. It can just be you eat a box of Twinkies because you're trying to find that way to fill the void. Not knowing that the only way that you can complete that can complete you, is God. His love for you, that longing he has to spend time with you, that love that he has for you, is the only thing that can complete that void. That it's the only thing that can help you through those times where that void and that hole shine brightest. Isn't that sad? That there's a lost world out there where the only thing that shines bright for them
is the void, the sadness, the depression. Depression's a religion right now. We give everything. People will give everything to avoid depression. They'll give everything to avoid sickness. They'll do anything, like the lady with the issue of blood. Everything. And what did she find? In the world, she found nothing. But walking through the streets, in the middle of a crowd, she found the answer. It was the one who loved her from before the beginning. That's the answer. That's where we need to go. And you know what our job here at Spirit Life Church and anywhere in Christendom is? To do that. To show the love of God. Even when it's not easy. Even when the person in front of you is just like, you would rather smack them than pray with them. You would rather walk away than hear another word out of their mouth. But all they need is for somebody just to show this much compassion and listen to them, pour out their heart, and then say, I know what you're going through. I know the answer, and here it is. It's not about being a know-it-all. Like I said last Sunday I preached, it's not about knowing the address in the Bible. It's about knowing the Creator. It's about knowing the Word of God. Not the Word of God, but the Word of God. His Son, Jesus. That's what it's about. It's about knowing that we can show this love to people that don't deserve our love. Because who has loved you when you didn't deserve love? We've all been there. There's always a point where we're at the end of our rope. We've had it up to here, and we just can't deal with it anymore. And if we'll just get still and be quiet, God will say, I love you. Think what a that just disarm you. You'll be all upset, messed up, ready to just knock the next person out that you see. And you mess up and you shut your mind down for a second and just sit in the quiet and just that small voice, I love you. And it will take and transform everything. Your heart will soften almost immediately, like hot water on ice. That's the God we serve. That's the God who loved you before the foundation. When he was putting together a rose and he was thinking about all the ladies who would love roses in all their various colors. How pretty they smell. And guys, don't fault me for that. They smell pretty. And if you get a good rose, it looks pretty. Right? It's not one of them busted ones. But a pretty rose. Nice, still tightened up. And then if you can get it there, and then as you watch it blossom bloom, that's the word. Blossom. Silly Clinton doesn't know enough about flowers to talk about them. But he knows they're pretty. Heather likes lilies. They're like stargazer lilies. I think is the actual. I've heard it a bunch of ways, but stargazer lilies, they're kind of purpley, right? Man, they're huge. Man, I got Heather. I forget when at the beginning of the year I think it was. Yeah, it was because I bought Heather a ring that was not in the approved ring list, right? Now, that's not because of Heather. I bought this ring and I spent a dollar on it. It was more than a dollar. But I'm trying not to advertise, sorry. I spent some money on this ring and it came. And I opened it and I was like, it was lackluster. And I thought long and hard about this ring because she likes rubies. And It wasn't didn't show the love I had for my wife. So in order to make amends for that, not that she made me feel bad or anything like that, on my own decision, I decided that was not the ring to celebrate my wife. And so I made amends by getting this beautiful bouquet of flowers. It was stargazer lilies and some other stuff. And I got her a nicer ring, and it cost me less. I got a God deal on it, right? That bad boy's got chocolate diamonds in it. It's got, I forgot what the ruby is that Levion calls their rubies, but it's beautiful. But I'm talking about the ring just to talk about these flowers. We put those flowers. I was building a fish tank at the time. I had a light that was made for growing plants underwater. So you can only imagine what that light can do above the water, right? So I put this bouquet of flowers inside of my aquarium. Why it was in there, I don't know. Because Heather was sold on the fact that we weren't putting water and fish in there. We were just going to turn it into a planter. And this flower, so given the proper amount of light, that flower bloomed. And it bloomed, and I thought it would die, but we watered it and we gave it light on a timer, and it just kept blooming. And then something I've never seen on cut flowers before, it started seeping the sap, the syrup. That's how healthy the light made that flower. How much better can something that is dead, is a cut flower not dying already? It is. Everybody can agree. It's disconnected from the vine. People are disconnected from the vine. They're dying in a dying world. And nobody's shining light on them. But if we'll, like we did last night, shine light on them, the right light, with the right frequency, the love of God, not the condemnation and the ridiculousness that a lot of churches get into, but just God loves you. It got cliche in the 90s, right? Jesus loves you. Because everybody was saying it. Nobody meant it. They'd be like this. They'd be like, Jesus loves you. And then they'd talk bad about him. But if you actually shine the light, the love of God, onto these people that are removed from the vine and graft them back in. See, a good botanist could take a flower that's been cut and separated from the vine, put a little salve on it, wrap it up a little bit, give it a little nutrient, feed it some light. Love it. Maybe speak words of kindness to it. And it will go back to being part of the vine. That's what we're called to as Christians. Those people that have been separated from the love of God, that have been separated from the vine, that have been separated from the goodness of God, from their source, if you would, from the root. We're the salve. We are. But if we don't get applied the right way, if we go at it with the wrong motives, if we're a little maybe too tight, what would happen? Stems will break. The mend won't take. And instead of something that is being healed and fixed and mended, we're left with something that is broken and in worse shape than it was when it first began. Because at least before you, not you guys, I don't mean to be pointing at anybody, but at least before you got all your crazy involved, they were in water, maybe a sprinkling of light. But we really have to work at being the love of God. We have to work at making sure that when we are loving people, we're doing it in a genuine way. Kind of like Tylenol. Tylenol. Forgive me. You can get it at the Walmart under the name brand. Acetaminophen. Right? Whatever. And it advertises all the same potency and everything. But if you've ever taken acetaminophen, I know, I'm just messing around. It's a fun word to say. It's like ibuprofen, right? So it's not correct Clinton's pronunciation of words today. No, that's not very loving. No, I'm just joking. But acetaminophen, Tylenol, actually, in my humble opinion, there is a pharmacist here, he may be like, "Nah, Clinton, it's the same thing," but it doesn't work the same, and it doesn't. Maybe it works kind of the same. You get the same effect. Pain goes away for 4 minutes instead of 20. It's not the same. And let me get away from like the Tylenol and stuff. Orange slices. We'll go back to the orange. This is a little bit more my speed. Y'all have had gummy orange slices, right? Made of 100% fruit juice. And 9 billion grams of sugar. And it doesn't taste even a little like an orange. The only thing it has about an orange in it is the color and potentially the shape. But if I'm not mistaken, the wobbles are wrong. Like, oranges go this way, not this way. And I'm telling you what, you cannot substitute the fake for the real and get the same thing as if you had the real. No matter what you do, no matter how you slice it or dice it, if you're not bringing genuine love, you're bringing fake love. If you're bringing fake love, you're breaking things. You're giving people tooth decay and a bad attitude, and maybe some diabetes, right? But that's not what we're here for. We're supposed to give them genuine love, just like a genuine orange. Amen. You can take orange peel, the zest, right? A twist of zest will flavor anything. Just a twist. But I'm going to go beyond that. You can clean with orange oil. Try to take an orange slice and clean anything. Doesn't work. Because it wasn't God made. Now, whoever had the idea for orange slices, God bless them. They're delicious. But they ain't an orange. Get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I'll tell my favorite story because I've only got about 8 minutes left. And it'll take 8 minutes to tell it. Because some of you haven't heard this about me. I'm a mushy, sappy guy. I am a mushy, sappy guy. Didn't you take the class with me? Know about the present that I got for Heather? Oh, I'll tell you. So, Heather is into photography. Did I say that correctly? Yeah. Photography? Yeah. Cool. I thought it sounded... Stop. Okay, I will stand still. She said, "I need to stop moving. It must be going wacky." So, I was like this. It was late. I can't remember. I think it was our anniversary. Heather really wanted a nice camera. I made tips. I made enough tips to buy a really nice camera on my way home. So I go to Walmart, as was my custom at midnight, most nights when I left the work. And I bought this camera for Heather. It was the camera she had asked for. It's awesome. It's one of them SLRs. 35 millimeter, though, digital wasn't in my price range, but it was still a nice camera. And so I'm walking around the store, and I pick up this I pick up this camera. I picked up the batteries for the camera. I picked up some film. I picked up some collector cards. We won't get into it, but they were collector cards. I picked up some candies. She liked Snickers almonds. It was before she ate too many peanuts and gave herself a reaction. Now she can't eat almonds. Silly girl. We'll pray for her. But she loves Snickers almonds. And then I think in addition, I bought a little plush. The plush still lives. It's in Ireland's net. But so I go out. Oh, yeah. Then I had to add Clinton Zing to it. In addition to being mushy, I am also funny and punny. And so I bought this silly bag with all 32 football teams on there. I think there's 32, but the NFL, right? Heather's not in the NFL. She doesn't like the NFL. We don't watch football. I like football, but I don't watch it. And so I go out to the car, and this is what I'm going to liken this back to how what I imagine Jesus doing when he's putting together the earth. I get this bag, this stupid bag, right, that has nothing to do with my wife, but it says Clinton. It's like my thumbprint, right? Clinton was here. You could tell if you look around, God was here, right? So that's the thing. That's Clinton's signature. And then I put the camera in the bottom, and then I start stacking the tissue paper on top of that. And I know how to wrap things, except for like wrapping, but I can make a bag look really good, right? And on top of the camera and the tissue paper, I put either the batteries or the film. It's been ages, right? We're talking 35 millimeter. This is a while back. And I put those on there, right? And I'm like, this is cool. Because I didn't want her to see the camera first, right? Everybody get that? And then I put the next thing, whatever that was, batteries or film, flip them, flop them, whatever. And then I covered that, and I put those collection cards on top of that. And then I put more paper wrapping on top of that, and I put the stuffed animal on the top of the bag with the two Snickers almonds, like pointing out like this, right? And the whole while I'm sitting there, I'm just imagining my wife's face when I get home and watch her open this. The excitement and the joy. And I'm sitting there tearing up in the front seat of my car about watching my wife enjoy this gift, right? And I'm just a man. I'm not God. So imagine how God was when he's like, I can't wait to see Wendy Jean sell her first house. Right? And so I'm putting this together, and it was very satisfying to put it together, and just the excitement I had built up on the inside about it. But then I get home, and Heather was mad at me, and we didn't open. I'm just joking. And I'm kid you not, her excitement didn't fail me. She was so excited to open it up, and piece by piece, by the time she got down to the film or the battery, I think I put the batteries first because it wasn't a dead giveaway. And then so she gets the batteries. What are batteries for? They're little. I can't use this. And then she takes the paper off, and there's the film. And now she has an inkling, and there's that sparkle. You could see it, right? And all the while, I'm just sitting back enjoying her watching it or opening this gift, thinking, man, I love her. It was all worth it. Every bit, the angry people that night that I dealt with, who their steak was cooked wrong, all of that faded away because I got to watch my delight open that gift. And so when the next time you're out and about and you're enjoying this created world that God thought about you when creating, take a second. Take it in. because he did it for you. Not for us. This is something I promise you, you can personalize. Because whatever it is that God has put a love for on the inside of you, that's because he loves you. I don't care if it's liver and onions. Probably the nastiest thing ever eaten. See? Nasty. But God did that for you. Take a second. Thank him for it. God, I thank you for loving me so much that not only did you make liver and onions, but you made it so I would like them. That sounds silly, but I'm serious. Anytime you see something, I love, outside of fish and hammer, I like the weirdest things, guys. I cried. I seen an elk. The first time I ever seen an elk, I cried like a baby. I'm a city boy. An elk came out of the clearing in the Wallapies. I didn't know they lived right there by the lodge. I was like, oh, this is the most spectacular thing ever. This baby elk's mom, or this mama elk and her babies came through the snow to love me. But they just live right there. But if you can just love those minutes and those moments in God, then you'll know how to love somebody else. Father God, we thank you so much for this awesome opportunity, Lord. Lord God, thank you for the words that you've given me tonight, Lord God. I know it wasn't me. I thank you so much. I love you. I love the little things that you do every day to tickle me. You're so good. You're so awesome. And I'm so happy I get to serve. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.